Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today. Dano's behind the glass. Meredith's taking your phone calls. There's one thing, Tom, and we'll talk more quarterback stuff here in a second. But we noticed that when we were out at the golf outing last Monday, the Browns golf outing, and that's a fun, casual event, you know, and you see some of the players and, you know, Dylan Gabriel's driving a golf cart around and there's Joel Bitonio, you know, wearing a golf shirt and shorts, and you're thinking, yep, he's an offensive lineman. That guy's just a beast. But Joel spoke, and as soon as he started talking, I immediately thought, okay, there's a key word there. And let's listen to what Joel Bitonio said last Monday, because it's becoming a theme for the Browns.
Overall, I think we just had the wrong mentality, and I think Coach Stefanski's already stressed the toughness that we need to bring back, the how practice is going to be. I think the rookie minicamp and the OTAs have already kind of picked up that tempo. You know, we're not resting on any laurels of playoffs or anything like that. It's a new team, and we have to establish our standard and what we want the Browns to be.
Toughness, Tom. And Joel mentioned that, and I thought, okay, that was interesting. And then he kept going, and he had another comment involving the same type of thing, and here it is.
You got to be tough up front. We got to you know, turn 2-3 yard runs into 4 and 5 yard runs. You know, our defense has to be tough. It's all toughness. It starts, you know, training camp and just having that ability to go to battle. And when things do not go, it's a long season. You're going to lose some games, but how do you bounce back? How do you not let one loss turn into two? And so, yeah, we got to be tough up front for sure.
So there's four toughs in various forms.
Yeah. It sounds like that may have come straight out of the feedback meeting he had on his exit interview or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was probably something that Joel, being the borderline Hall of Famer, multi-time All-Pro, good all-around guy, experienced last year. He probably thought, you know what? Yeah, maybe these practices are too easy. Maybe these coaches are giving us too much rope. Maybe too many guys are taking advantage of situations where they should be in the building working harder and are leaving early. You know, we got to be tougher. Maybe they felt that on the field. Maybe they got bullied by enough teams that they thought, you know what? We got to fix this. And the only way we're going to fix that is by, you know, working on the little things that make you tougher, both physically and mentally. And that's got to start in the offseason. So, yeah, I think that was good of you to pick up on that. I don't think that's by accident that Joel is then throwing those kind of words out there.
Mary Kay Cabot wrote a piece all about it. Mary Kay saying that message came from Mike Vrabel and Bubba Ventrone. And I thought it was really interesting the way Mary Kay approached it, that basically Vrabel and Bubba, their special teams coordinator, who's still here, former New England Patriots, you know, tough football team, as we know, for many years,
right.
they thought that things might be a little soft. And I thought that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe it rubbed off. But Tom, any sport, I've always thought this, and you hear this from people who are at the top of their professions, practices should be harder than games.
So true.
And games should be fun because you shouldn't, and it's very difficult. I would especially think in football, okay, here's what we did all week because we rested up and and now go ahead and really pick up the intensity, guys. That's not easy to do. And clearly, it didn't work for this team last year.
No, and to your point, Jeff, you can't try to do that midstream, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be, 3-11, and then all of a sudden say, "Hey, we're going to practice harder today." By then, the horse has jumped the rails, right? It's out of the barn and gone. You got to establish that in the off season because, once you've established an identity for a team, that's your team, and if you can't get it back, then you're going to have to wait until the off season to try again, and so. Yeah, maybe that's what they're at. And I tell you what, it's kind of refreshing to hear in a way too, though, Jeff, isn't it? Right? I mean, if it was a problem, then it was a problem.
Tom, something has to change.
Yeah.
And apparently they've pinpointed something.
Right, yeah. And I've talking to Browns fans in the offseason here, I've always kind of cautioned people that while last year was bad and awful and name it,
yes.
and injury problems, I didn't think the record was reflective of a 3-14 team. I thought they were a much better team than that, which is why I am always a cautious optimist about what this team can do because they do have some good players on this roster. Mm-hmm. They have arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. You can argue that all you want. They've got talent. I don't think they have the 32nd ranked talent like somebody put that out a couple weeks ago, PFF or whatever it was. I don't think this team is that bad. So there's plenty to build on. And if that begins with getting a little bit tougher on in all phases, then by all means, do it.
The one thing that to follow up what you said about last year, I thought it was really weird when they benched Jameis. Just to throw that out, Jameis was giving you a chance to win football games. And at that point, I thought, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And you end up with a second pick in the draft. Maybe that's why you're doing that and turned into an opportunity for them. But clearly there's and I hate the new thing that is in our business so much. What was the message before the game? I can't stand.
Right.
What's your message to your team?
Right.
Well, it would appear that Kevin Stefanski, Joel Bitonio, some of the veterans have sent a message that we need to be a tougher football team. Well, it's football. If you're not tough, you win three games, And so to me, when I heard Bitonio saying that, I thought, thank you. That makes perfect sense.
Well, and let's go back to Judkins for a second. That kid's a tough football player, right?
Yeah.
I think from watching Mason Graham, and I know he had some issues on early in camp, but when I watched him in Michigan, that's a tough-nosed football player.
Right.
So, maybe this is a fundamental shift. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. You better be tough to be able to play in the NFL.
Carson Swisinger, tough guy at linebacker.
There you go.
So guy goes from walk-on to second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're trying to do.
And like you said too, Jeff, sorry to interrupt.
No.
Also coming from a person like Joel who has the respect of everyone in that locker room. So if that message is going to get out there to us and then it's going to resonate throughout the locker room, on the practice field, in the weight room, when they're playing simulated golf, all that kind of stuff. I'll say this as well. There were times last year where I know as a media group, we questioned some things in terms of, God, are they babying these guys? Why aren't they bringing the hammer down? And then we started to think, well, maybe there's a reason for this. Maybe they're just, trying to get through this bumpy stage and then they're going to get tough. And they never really did. And like I said, it's very difficult to do, I think, when you're 10 or 11 weeks into a season.
And now you punched up your offensive line with depth, with some veteran depth,
yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. You draft two running backs. You restructure your leading rusher from last year. Where does he slot in? Is he the number one? No, I don't think so. Is he the number two? Maybe.
Is he your kickoff returner?
Returner and your third running back? Yeah. That may be.
Yeah.
It would appear that they're going to run the football like crazy. It would appear that they're going to use two tight ends more often than they did last year. You don't draft Harold Fannin, who had, 117 catches at BG.
Yeah, to
and
block.
Then, and then right. not, yeah, and he's not built like a blocker.
Right.
He's built like an offensive weapon.
Yeah.
And so it just seems real clear what they want to do. Now they have to figure out who's going to be orchestrating that on the field. And we touched on this during the jump start. If all of the reports are true, and Kevin said, you know, Joe Flacco didn't get a whole lot of reps. I labeled Joe yesterday, Tom. I might not be right about this. If it continues with the rest of minicamp this way, where Flacco's not getting the reps, that makes me, it gives me pause. And it makes me think, all right, let's see what happens at the start of training camp. Because if he's not getting equal number of reps at training camp, I don't care that he's 40. You've got to build rapport with your teammates. And it would make me think he is the, in case of emergency, break glass quarterback.
That's fair.
And is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is. Right now, I don't put any stock into it whatsoever. He's Joe Flacco.
Right.
Right? 40 years old, seen and done everything.
He could walk on the field tomorrow and start a football game.
No question. No question. And you got this, these other guys that you got to get as many looks at as you can. Right? So I'm all for that. I think it's the smart play, to be honest with you. And here's the other thing that I've been telling some of my closer Browns fans that are always in perpetual panic mode, I like to call it. They're always just freaking out.
Oh, that is being a Browns fan.
I still, and now that I'm removed from the daily media beat, I still have a great deal of trust in Kevin and in this coaching staff to get it right. I think they're going to put the right guy out there based on where this team is right now. Once you get into September, I think they're going to go through this evaluation process. I don't see any external pressure in terms of this guy's got to start. I think they're looking at this year as we got to fix this position. And we finally have a situation where we've got a lot of different options, right? We've got the longstanding veteran quarterback who took us to the playoffs, by the way, 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. We've got the young former first round draft pick who has shown some promise and maybe with a change of scenery can take the next step up.
Who we think we might be able to salvage.
Potentially, right? We've got two rookies that were high on both of them, one of whom some people thought could have gone as high as one or two in the draft. So, and we took a flyer on him. We're going to see what he's got. So I like where they're at in terms of trying to fix this. I'm not saying that they're necessarily going to get it right, but I have enough confidence, like I said, in Kevin and his staff that they're going to do the right thing.
The one aspect of this that I think is especially intriguing, last year you brought in Ken Dorsey as offensive coordinator. You went out of the shotgun a lot because that's what Deshaun Watson was more comfortable with.
Right.
If you spent all the money and gave up all the draft picks, you should tailor your offense for the guy.
100%.
It didn't work. And he wasn't up to it. Either his level of play wasn't good enough, the team wasn't good, whatever it was, the offense wasn't really good with Deshaun, and he wasn't very good.
He was bad.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Now you're bringing in running backs. You're adding offensive line depth. So, I mean, you've got guys now who are backups who have started in the league, at least, you know, to some extent, veteran backups.
And you have a new coordinator with a fresh eye.
And it very much so. And you have maybe different styles of quarterback. I wonder if the switch back to a more Stefanski-based offense, in other words, running game, two tight ends, will drastically help whoever is a quarterback. I would think yes. If you're Kenny Pickett, hey, we're going to rely on the running game, and we're going to go play action.
Takes the pressure off of him,
yeah,
right?
And we don't need you to throw 45 passes a game. So we need you to accurately throw some passes set up by play action. Tom, I think they're creating a system that's more conducive to quarterback play, better quarterback play.
I'm with you, and it fits Joe Flacco like a glove as well.
Without question.
I mean, that's who he is, right? That's what they had the success with.
Yep.
You know, last year was so weird, Jeff, in so many ways when I think about it. Like the whole, you know, the shift from the philosophy and can Deshaun still play and what are we doing and why did Alex Van Pelt get fired and all of that just led to a complete mess. So, yeah, you know, on to bigger and better things.
Chris Easterling covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal.
I know him.
Just as Tom did for many years with the Associated Press. Chris is going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Fascinating to see what this team might end up doing this year. I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is the Browns beat reporter for the Beacon Journal. You can read all of Chris's work at Ohio.com. He's Chris Easterling. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Tommy, good to hear from you.
Hey, Chris, how are you, bud?
Not too bad.
Yesterday, you had quarterback Palooza out there, Chris. Did you learn anything more about structure of how this thing might go at quarterback based on what they did yesterday with apparently Kenny Pickett getting plenty of reps, Dylan Gabriel getting plenty of reps, Joe Flacco doing plenty of watching, and Shedeur Sanders getting some reps?
I will once I get context today, I think, because I think yesterday was sort of, you know, you give the old man a little, you know, day to rest the arm, you know, you don't want to overwork it. But, you know, I think that the seeing that many reps for the two rookies wasn't a surprise, because I think those are the two they have to sort of figure out first, because they have to figure out which order they want, you know, those two are in. And they can get to the experienced guys first, but I really need to see more. Everything about this is just context, and the more I see, I think the more I'll get a better handle on it, because, you know, I just think with the two veteran guys, or experienced guys, if you don't consider Kenny a veteran per se, I just think that those guys, their competition's really coming in July and August. This time is more about just getting those rookies the reps and getting them up to speed, so when training camp starts, they're not too far behind where the other two quarterbacks are.
Chris, at first I want to make sure that you're hydrated today and you've got the SPF 70 on, because it's going to be a rough one out there. Are you set to go?
I'm always
that a boy. I love it. That's a veteran.
Got the floppy hat on. Protect the ears.
Hey, let's
no floppy hat, just a ball cap.
Let's dig into those rookies for a second. What has stood out to you about Gabriel, and in what ways does he intrigue you in how he's different maybe from Shedeur?
Well, I mean, I think he's a little – Shedeur is your conventional, I think, pocket passer. I mean, I thought even going into the draft that Shedeur struck me as the kind of Kevin Stefanski quarterback, the guy that, you know, he's not massive. He's not like Joe's size or anything, but
right. He's
obviously bigger than Dylan. So I think Dylan's a little more unconventional that's not to say he can't be successful. He's just, you know, I think it's a lot more operating outside of the pocket. But, you know, there's things about his arm, you know, you obviously saw him, you know, watching, you know, two games against, you know, when he was at Oregon and even in Oklahoma. There's an arm there. It's just the question is it an NFL arm? And I just, if I had to go with the two rookies, I would probably lean Sanders in that regard. And that's something I think you can see even while they're running around in T-shirt and shorts.
Gotcha.
What did you think when you heard them both speak yesterday? Because I'll tell you, Chris, in listening to Shadur, he sounded to me, and they both sounded just great and, you know, good young guys and happy to be there. But I got the feeling listening to Shadur that he was a kid who was really happy to be a pro, and Dylan Gabriel sounded like a pro to me.
I think that's a good way to describe it. You know, Dylan Gabriel sounded like a guy who's, you know, who has stood in front of the microphones for a lot of years, which he has.
I mean,
going all the way. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's in college for 6 years, and I think if I can remember, I mean, he was a starter except for when he was hurt all those 6 years. So, you know, there is a little more polish than with Shadur, who, you know, I think he's happy to be a pro, but I think he's taking it very seriously. I think he understands what he has to do. I've been impressed every time he's talked. I'll be honest, Jeff. There were a lot of things said about Shadur going in through the process, draft process, even coming out of the draft process. When he has talked to us, we've talked to him now three times, you know, draft night, rookie minicamp, and then yesterday. I have always been impressed just by how he, you know, the message, you know, the way he, you know, the message he conveys when he talks. There is a confidence, but there's also, I think, a little bit of a, I don't even know what the right word is. It's,
eagerness. He sounds really comfortable to me, Chris.
Yeah, he's comfortable behind the mic, which shouldn't be a surprise. But you know, when he talks, it's very the message he conveys. Like yesterday, he's like, "Look, I'm only he was asked about what the plans are for the off season to get working. He's like, "Right now, I'm only worried about the auction we got in the afternoon." You know, he's been very good about being on message and understanding. I think he understands where he is right now in terms of the ecosystem that is their quarterback room. And that's a great place to start from if you're a rookie and, you know, trying to ingratiate yourself in the organization, trying to build up some, you know, build up some goodwill as you try to build yourself up the depth chart.
Chris, yesterday was the first time, I think, since the famous dinosaur news conference that you've heard from number 95, and it's always interesting to hear from Myles Garrett. What kind of takeaways did you have from what he said yesterday? I know he was asked about a variety of topics, and we got some more questions about leadership, things like that. What did you take away from Myles yesterday?
I think one that he is embracing that leadership. You know, I think he understands that, look, what happened, you know, with the trade demands and then the contract extension and then all this. I think he understands that, look, I have to, you know, what Jim Schwartz said last week about this having to be his best season, I think Myles Garrett fully understands and believes that himself. So, I think that was the first thing is, I mean, you've talked to Myles a million times yourself. I mean, it was sort of typical Myles.
Right,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, that he doesn't lack confidence for him in himself. I think the one thing that was sort of interesting that I sort of raised my eyebrows. I'm like, he was asked if, you know, when he met with AB, was he sort of told that Joe Flacco was part of the plan at quarterback? And he sort of smirked and, you know, insinuated that, yeah, he was, you know, he knew that Flacco was part of the plan. And I'm just like, really? I mean, not for me to, you know, doubt a, you know, future Hall of Famer, but that just okay.
And it was a major factor in him wanting to come back. That to me,
that
it's like,
make
oh,
any sense
really?
At all.
Okay.
Yeah, we.
Yeah, that just is it. It's like, you know, he was asked about, you know, you said this roster wasn't close to contending.
Right.
That's why you wanted out. And then now and even there he hedged. He goes, well, that's what minicamp and training camp's about. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't answer the question if you really think this roster is where you really believe this roster is at. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's just sit him out and say, they gave me 4 years, $160 million.
Hey, Chris, that's okay.
That's fine. I mean, I would. You can send me to Antarctica for 4 years, $160 million.
Chris Easterling joining us. He covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal, Ohio.com, where you can read all of his work. I want to go back and to the quarterbacks for 1 second. It would appear Kenny Pickett is getting every chance to win this job. You've seen him a couple of times now. Does he look like he's like, okay, yeah, here's, you know, here's the leader in the clubhouse. This is the guy they got to catch. Or does he look like the other guys?
He looks more like the other guys, which is sort of weird. They're giving him every opportunity. But that's why just something weird about this whole competition that if you bring Joe Flacco in to start, and you're bringing a rookie along behind him. Now, whether he's a mentor or not, forget that conversation. But you can just watch Joe throw the football, and it's like, yeah, that's your starting
varsity.
Football. Yeah. I mean, it's just clear. But you know, it's clear they're trying. I mean, they're setting it up for Kenny Pickett to at least go into that last preseason game with a legitimate shot to be QB1 coming out going into the regular season. It just, everything just seems to be setting up for that. They just seem to be forced. I don't want to say forcing the narrative, but they sure are. I mean, again, he's gotten reps. He's always been the first quarterback up. I mean, whether Joe is going through the 7-on-7, 11-on-11s or not. So, it's just really strange. I mean, because again, why bring Joe Flacco in if you're going to do that with Kenny Pickett? But at the same time, why bring Kenny Pickett in if you were ultimately, you know, going to bring Joe Flacco in to, you know, to compete for the starting job and you would assume get the starting job?
Chris, I'm just curious. We've been through this, me a little bit longer than you, but we've been through these quarterback scenarios in the past. And do you think this team is prepared to handle and temper down the expectations should Shador go out there and play exceedingly well in the exhibition season? Do you think, I mean, there's going to be there's already a huge wall of support for that kid. And I think it's
more so than any of the other guys, probably.
And more so than I expected by far. And I think that drumbeat is just going to get louder should he go out in the preseason and play well. Do you think this team is prepared to handle that? And do you think that that's even a discussion at this point?
I don't think it's a discussion at this point because I don't think they see. The way everything has been structured, it seems far-fetched that September 7th, he's going to be
I got
starter.
You. Yeah.
So, but I just think even, like you said, it's just been constant about Shador. I think they've done a good job, relatively speaking, with Shador and handling and doing their best to kind of tamp things down and try to stay on message. Now, there's no scoreboard right now. There's no standings that where you look and you see sitting fourth place at one and whatever. And so it's a little easier maybe in June than it is in October. But I think they can. But again, talk to me once the pressure's on, and you know they've gotten back from London, and another long season seems to be awaiting them, and maybe we can revisit this.
Chris, thank you for your time today. Enjoy day number two of mandatory minicamp. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Chris Easterling on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can read all of Chris's coverage of minicamp at ohio.com. He covers the team for the Akron Beacon Journal.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.